Welcome back to the Home CEO podcast, where we take less mess, less stress, and create more success in our homemaking duties. Now, today is a very exciting day because I am chatting with my good friend, so cool I get to call her that, Yumna. You may know her as Feel Good Foodie, but she is here on the sizzling episode of the podcast because we're going to cook up a storm with her. So I thought we could kick off that we're twinning today. We showed up on the podcast and we're both in denim. So there's something to be said for that, isn't there?
We are jean machines today.
I love it. So I wanted to invite you on. I want to hear your background, your inspiration. I want to get to this new cookbook that I cannot wait to binge read in my bathtub with a cup of tea. So many great things to cover today in the podcast. Let's just kick it off with, what is Feel Good Foodie? Why did you create it? And tell us about you.
So I basically created it 10, almost 11 years ago as just a way to learn how to cook a little bit healthier because, or just learn how to cook in general, because I grew up with a mom who just made everything look so easy and just had the best home cooked meals. And so when I got married and started having my own kids, I realized that I don't know how to cook. I couldn't even make a pot of rice. And I was so spoiled because I would go to my mom's house and just pick up literally anything that she made that day. She would make plenty of it for my husband and I. And when I finally moved away and started having my own family, I felt like I wanted to bring that joy and magic of these home-cooked, easy home-cooked, beautiful meals to my family. And so I decided to learn publicly by going on Instagram and just starting to take whatever my mom taught me, but also just take what the internet was giving me and cookbooks were giving me and just sharing all the things I was learning about what is quinoa and why is it good for you and how do we, you know, eat more chia seeds, etc. And before I knew it, people were hooked. They loved the simplicity of the recipes. They loved, you know, how approachable they felt. And they also loved the fact that my kids were eating everything that I was sharing.
That's so important. I think that's my hardest area in my home is my kids are very picky and I'm making four dinners. So you've definitely helped me simplify that and make like little hidden ingredients. So my kids have no idea they're getting extra fiber or protein, but they totally are. Tell us a little bit about your daily routine. Like walk us through what it looks like to be you right now as a content creator.
So I have, I wake up when I take my, after I take my kids to school every day, I always hit the gym. I hit the gym 5 days a week. And I just feel like it's really important for just connecting my mind, my body, everything, and just getting that like big boost of energy in the morning. It feels like I checked something off of my list and it's done. And after that, I usually will either have a cooking day or a computer day. And I just like to divide up my day that way because this idea of bulk creating makes me feel so much more efficient. So I'll have a cooking day where I'm either testing recipes for the website or a cooking day where I'm filming recipes. And those don't happen together because when I'm testing, my hair is up. I'm not cute. Like, I am just like in a t-shirt and I'm testing eight recipes. I'm licking my fingers and eating all the things. And then when I'm filming, I'm more put together. I'm more purposeful. I know exactly what kind of videos are going to do well. And it could be super old videos from my website, ones that just got published that are doing really well, or just fun viral hacks that I want to share with my audience. And then computer days, I'll spend it, you know, with my team. I've got eight people on the Feel Good Foodie team that help me bring it all together. And so we've got lots of meetings and, you know, projects and things that we're always trying to do to, you know, really grow the website. And the website's been up since 2016. And a lot of people don't know that it's actually a lot more successful than my social media, you know? And so it's actually bigger and more successful. And it's actually more of the breadwinner than social media is. And so I spend a lot of my time behind the scenes just churning that engine and keeping that website alive and doing well on serving the people who are following me.
I think the website is a game changer. That is the one thing in our friendship that I'm so glad that you shared. And the biggest thing about it is it's all there for us to consume whenever we need. So instead of me always having to like DM you, hey, where's that recipe on your feed? I can just go to the Feel Good Foodie website. It's all there for when I need it. I can print it out. It's a beautiful website. So accolades to you on that. It's one of my favorite blogs in the entire world to find recipes. You have to go check it out. You're a mom, a CEO, like a wife. You do all the things. You have your hand in so much. Can you share with everybody, as a successful home manager, what like top tips you would give to someone managing it all like you? What are three things that you do that you think are unique and different that could really help the home CEO?
The first thing I think is so important is to empower the people in your household. And that includes your spouse and your kids. And I would say it's even more, my husband is a physician and he's probably 10 times more busy than I am as a cardiac electrophysiologist who went to school for 20 years to do what he's doing. So I've been empowering my kids, and it all started, you know, when my kids were little, it was the Montessori way. And it was more just like encouraging them to do it themselves. Even if they don't do it correctly, they're learning to do it. And now I have a 13 and 11 year old. And I'm telling you, like, they didn't know how to, you know, make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before. But now my daughter not only makes her lunch, but she makes her brother's lunch and my husband's lunch.
That's the sweetest.
I just love that, because I was like, oh my gosh, you're not only, you know, doing it for yourself, but for your brother and your dad. And it just means so much to me. And so, you know, it's a way that, like, and she feels pride. She feels so much joy to be able to do that. She's happy to. She's excited to help out and to be, you know, doing that. And it brings her joy, you know. So I think that's really important. And they also feel the sense of autonomy. So I would say get your kids involved as much as possible. Make them feel proud of that task that they're doing. And, you know, congratulate them on it. And don't be so hard if they're not doing it perfectly. So I think that helps a lot, too. And I also think that it's important to acknowledge what you can and can't do in a day. So I know, for example, that I've got limitations for how much I can do. And so I have somebody who cleans my house. I also have somebody who decorates for me. And so when it comes time for holidays, or I've got a photo shoot or something like that, I've got, you know, home designer, stager who, like, will put the certain touches and bring certain flowers and change out my pillows. And it's something that I love to do, and I want my home to look beautiful, and it brings me peace to see it looking its best, but I don't have time to do that. So hiring help, whether it's somebody to do your laundry, somebody to, you know, take your kids to different activities, or someone to just buy you cute pillows. I mean, you know, I think all of that even helps. I even have a personal stylist too to help me pick out, and it's so much, it's not as expensive as people think it is. You know, having somebody actually, like, pick out your wardrobe for you and pick out cute outfits that are in season is such, it's a helpful thing to have. That would be my second tip. And then the third one is, like, list, list, list. Like, I've got all the lists and color coordinated lists, and it really just helps me stay on task. But I also feel like every day I've got, like, one big thing I need to do and three little things. And I try to divide it that way. And the big thing, like, is in green. And the three little things are, like, in yellow color. And it's just on my phone. And I'm like, okay, I just have this one big thing I have to do today. And these three little things that I have to do today. And after that's done, like, I'm good. And that really helps a lot, because it makes me feel, again, like, I checked off going to the gym. I checked off this big task of yesterday, for example, it was finishing signing, writing handwritten notes to 110 content creators. And I was like, I need to finish this. This is my one big thing that I have to do today that has to get out. And then I've got these other three things. And the other three things can be as simple as, like, sign my son up for basketball. Like, it's just, I need to do this. And just keeping those lists is really helpful, and trying not to move them to the next day. You know,
that is so true.
Bigger lists that you can pull from that can get moved around. But those, like, four items every day do not get moved. They have to get done. And, you know, so I try to be realistic in, you know, getting those things done. But I have a lot of help, you know, in so many different ways, from my team to my personal life to my husband and kids, which is the only way I can do it all.
It is. And I think that is something in our generation that has been kind of missed. I became a mom and I was like, where's my village? Like, they just show up, right? No, they don't. And some of them we pay for, and some of them we invest our time and our energy into. But our time and our energy is our greatest currency, especially with our babies. And our work is our baby, right? It's our third or fourth baby, depending on how many kids you have. And there is a need for just saying, someone else can do this better. Someone else can handle this. And I have to let that go. And that's tough, right?
It's so tough. Yeah. And even on my website, I found myself doing things like, I used to, a year and a half ago, I was making collages for every single recipe that would go up. And each collage might take me like 30 minutes or so, but I was doing like four of them a week. And so I was spending 2 hours making collages every week. And I'm like, so I literally hired a person, and her only job for 3 or 6 months was just to make collages. That's it. That's all she did. And then I was like, oh, wait, you're really good at that. Let me give you another thing. And so sometimes, for me, it felt overwhelming to hire somebody. I'm like, I literally just need a person just to make a collage. Like, is this kind of silly to hire someone for this one small task? I'll just do it myself, you know? And sometimes you feel like, oh, no one's going to want to do this task. But if it's a task that you're doing and you enjoy doing or did it for a long time, there's always somebody who would love to help you, who's willing to take the extra money, you know? So don't be afraid to hire people for as little as the tasks feel.
That's so smart. Really good advice. Okay, we're going to take a turn here. In a world where like social media often highlights perfection, you are very authentic. When I talk to you here or on the phone or WhatsApp, or in your DMs, you are exactly who you are in your social media presence. How do you do that?
You know, it was really hard. The first time that stories came up, I felt like I didn't know who I needed to be. And I also remember like the picture that I had up was like, I had really short hair at the time and like a pearl necklace. And I didn't know what kind of picture I needed. So this was like in 2014 when, you know, stories, we didn't really have stories and people didn't get to see us. And I remember when I would meet people in real life, they're like, oh my gosh, like, that's not how I imagined. You seem so formal online, you know? And like, I'm like, yeah, I look like a politician's wife online, the way like my hair was all like shortcut and I got the pearl necklace. And, you know, and a lot of people were just shocked by that. And I'm like, and this was early on because I had 10 years of working in business and marketing before I did social media, influencer business, basically. And so in that time that I did that, you know, I showed up very professional every day, like in slacks and button-down shirt. And so when I started showing up online, I felt like that's how I needed to show up. And when I would meet people in real life, they were always like, that's not how I imagined. And it was just like an eye-opener for me. Like, why am I showing up a little bit differently? And so I started to just, you know, as stories started coming up and as we started sharing more and more about our personalities and doing more videos, I started to think about like making those videos or doing stories. Like I'm talking to my sisters. I've got two sisters who are my best friends. And I would just show up. And you do the same way. You do such a great job of it. I feel like when you show up in my stories, I just feel like, yeah, she's talking directly at me and only me. I'm the only person who exists in the story right now. And that's how I wanted people to feel, like I'm talking to my sisters, I'm talking to my best friend. And, you know, and then, you know, I feel like that was key to just showing up the way you are, because really the people who are following you are like your sisters. They're a community, they care about us. And when they see us succeed, they're so happy. I've heard people say like, oh my gosh, seeing you publish this book, it feels like my sister published a book. And when I see you on TV, I literally like clap and like get goosebumps, excited for you because I've seen your journey for 10 years. And so keeping that in the back of my mind has really helped me to just show up more authentically. Like these people, they're my community. They're my friends. There's nothing to be intimidated about. There's no need to show up any differently. Like I am who I am. And, you know, let me just show them the real raw me, you know? But I will say I always have concealer on because if I don't, I look like someone beat me up. I just have really dark. But then once you put concealer on, I feel like I need to put a little mascara on. So I do show up with makeup, but I also feel like it's something that I always have on in real life too. Like I need that concealer and mascara. I'm 41. Like,
I love that. No, I'm the same way. And every time I go out to like my grocery store and someone's like, oh my gosh, you are Nicole. I'm like, yep. So you're going to see the real me like in person. I wear very little makeup, but I wanted that to be the case as well. Like when I talk to you on any platform, it doesn't matter. I'm getting you. And I think there are a lot of creators out there that put a lot of perfection out there and you miss it. Like I love seeing you show up in your graphic tee and your blue jeans and like your son is on a reel and I feel like I'm in your home. I feel like you're hosting me or he's hosting me. That was like one of my favorite.
I love that.
I'm going to put it in the show notes because it's one of my favorite for sure. So,
so cute.
He's the best. You've got a great family. Let's talk about that a little bit. You are raising two kids and a business. How do you balance parenting moments in these teen years? Let's hear from the mom that you are.
Oh, it is so difficult because I genuinely believe that I raised like the most beautiful, special human beings. But then the attitude that comes out of nowhere, I'm just like, who are you right now? I'm just like, you know, and I'm just like, okay, it's time to put away electronics or something. It is so, so difficult. And so for me, it's just always been this like fine line of trying to find a balance between, you know, disciplining them and knowing that like there's consequences to their actions, but also just making sure that I'm super supportive in everything that they do. And we've just got like, you know, an open door policy, if you will, type of situation where it's just like, you can say anything to me, no judgment zone, anytime, you know, if you have a question about anything. So we try to keep that as much as possible. But at the same time, you know, pre-tween. We've got tweens and a teenager and a tweener. And it's not easy because they're like, well, I don't want to do this. And I don't want to dress in slacks. And I don't want to do my homework. And I want to watch a little bit more of this. And it's not easy at all, you know. And I like cherish the times when they were younger and just listened to everything that I said. But it's also brings me a lot of joy. And so, yeah, I just try to find, you know, a balance of being super supportive and super like friendly with them, but at the same time, stern with expectations. So they know what the expectations are and they know at the end of the day, all their actions have, you know, reactions and everything they do, like you're hurting another person or you're helping another person or you're making somebody else's day better or worse. So I think that tends to help a lot too. They're not kids. They're not little anymore. They have, you know, they have to understand the consequences to their actions. And I think it's just preparing them for the real world little by little, you know, with just like gentle parenting, you know, by still like, while still being, you know, tough when necessary. I grew up in Africa where if I didn't do something right, like I was literally hit on my hand by a ruler, not only by my parents, but also by my principal, by my teachers. And it was normal to do that. And it was just like, this is what happened. You get a spanking, you get a hit on your hand and you get a physical, you know. And so stepping away from that and just trying to do things a little bit differently now, it's interesting because it's first generation and, you know, thought of doing that.
Absolutely. How do you handle technology? You are on social media and you have a 13-year-old. How are you going to handle that or how are you handling that?
Well, my daughter just got a phone, which she just turned 13 2 months ago. And so I feel proud of myself that I held on for so long because I think she was literally the last person in seventh grade to get a phone. And so now that she has, which I mean, the minute she gets it, it's just like all goes out the window. You just regret it. And so we just try to set up boundaries. We've got, you know, time limitations on her phone. We've got, you know, every single app that she downloads needs approval by me. And she's not allowed yet on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and those channels. She did get Pinterest, and she's able to watch shorts on there. And she found a way to watch shorts through YouTube, the website. And so I just have to keep finding things and blocking things. Like, we just have to, like, they're smarter than us. They just really are, like, especially with technology, you know? Or, like, my son has his laptop, and he's like, I'm doing, you know, these, like, math training drills on the computer. And I'm like, great, that sounds good. I'm gonna go downstairs and start preparing dinner. I come back up and it's like he's on YouTube, on Safari YouTube. I'm like, what? And I'm just like, oh my goodness, it is just, you know. And I miss the day. So when my daughter was a little bit younger and she would go on her iPad, I can see where she was on her iPad because of AirDrop. Like you can AirDrop something to them. And from my office, I would yell upstairs. I'd be like, I know you're on your iPad, and she'd be like, how do you even know? I'm like, moms know everything. And it was cute back then because they didn't know about the AirDrop. Now they know everything. They know more than I do. And it's just like having to keep, you know, trying to set boundaries as much as possible. And then also just keeping them super busy. Like I just have them in so many things. So there isn't as much time for them to rely on that technology. You know, I grew up, like I said, in Africa where we played all the time. We just grew up in different times. Even when I moved to the U.S., we were outside so much. We were with our friends, and it's such a different time. And it scares me with the technology. It scares me so much. So I'm trying to just keep that balance as much as possible.
Yeah, I am not there yet. I have an 8 and a 6-year-old, but I know it's coming. And the way that they can even like scroll on a phone, I mean, I feel like when they were 2, they already knew how to do that. And I was shocked that they could like hack into my phone and knew my passcode. And I'm not there yet, but I feel it because we have Play cell phones and they know mommy's on Instagram. And I'm like, I might just use this as my healthy boundary. I'm on social media. I know the backside of that. So, but I'm going to be calling you about how do we handle this? So get ready for those phone calls.
Oh my goodness. It is not easy.
I wanted to talk a little bit about like, if there's one ingredient that you had to use for the rest of your life, and that was like, it can be a spice, it can be a meat, it can be a vegetable. One ingredient to cook with for the rest of your life, what would it be?
That is so hard.
I know.
it's only one. It's like so difficult.
Just
I really love dates. And I just love dates because I call them nature's candy, and I eat a date every single day. It's something that is, you know, it's part of our religion. Like, we just eat a date every day because it's got all these amazing benefits. And when during Ramadan, when I'm fasting, I break my fast on a date every day. So it's something that I do outside of Ramadan as well. I eat a date and a handful of nuts. And so I found ways to integrate dates in, you know, no cooked meals, for example, like making brownie date bites or throwing, like, you know, chopping them up and throwing them in overnight oats. But I've also, you know, boiled them a little bit to let out their juices and made oatmeal that way, or added like a little bit of sweetener to like banana breads, or use them in rice pilafs, or throw them on top of French toast. I just feel like, you know, even if you're just making asparagus, for example, if you just chop up some dates and throw them in the oven on top of that, it's going to transform the dish. It gives you a little bit of sweetness that you don't expect. It caramelizes beautifully. It roasts nicely. It's good cold. It's good raw. It's good, like, in just so many different ways. And I just feel like, you know, we need to eat more of that. And I just love the fact that dates are getting a lot of attention this last year, because we've got the viral date Snickers. We've got the date barf that people are making. I had a date bread that went crazy viral a month ago. People have just been so obsessed with that because it's like a banana bread, but it's made with dates. And so I just feel like there's so many fun things to do with it. So what's interesting is in my cookbook that comes out in May, I actually highlight 8 Mediterranean staples that I just feel like are game changers in elevating your everyday recipes, from like pancakes to French toast to rice, and dates is one of them.
Hey there, home CEOs. Tired of playing guess the origin with your meat at the grocery store? Well, I was too. You know, where you squint at the labels and hope the meat's travel history isn't more exotic than yours? I want to introduce you to Good Ranchers. This one, I've done the homework so you don't have to. They're born and bred right here in the USA, and their meat is as local as your favorite coffee shop. So since 2018, they've been bringing families back to the dinner table, where all great change in America starts. With Good Ranchers, you're not just ordering the finest cuts of USDA prime beef, chicken, and wild-caught seafood. You're also giving the boot to the mystery meat imports and supporting American farms. Subscribe today and save $25 on every order. That's right. Keep your wallet and your belly full with Good Ranchers American meat delivered, because good food is where the home is. Good Ranchers is the official sponsor and freezer staple for the home CEO and Nicole Jakes. Now, let's get back to the show.
What is one recipe you wish worked out, but it did not?
I made something called, do you know what halloumi is? It's like that non-melting cheese. It's so salty that I feel like, honestly, it feels so amazing, because it literally felt like, so I published 3 to 4 recipes a week, every single week on my website. And this book has 125 recipes, 100 of which are new. So if you think about the number of recipes that I had to test and retest and perfect, and honestly, I tested those more than I tested the ones that go on the website. Because if there's a mistake on the website after testing it twice, I'm like, I can just go fix it. You get people's feedback and you can just republish it. Nobody has to know. But on, you know, something that's printed, I was obsessed with them. I wanted to make sure that they were perfect and we had no mistakes whatsoever. So it literally felt like a second blog to me. And it just felt like so much work that went into it because of developing those recipes, testing them, perfecting them, and then writing them in a way that felt accessible to people and telling the stories behind them too in the cookbook. So much work that went into it. And I know that, you know, I would do it over again in a heartbeat because it was just so satisfying. And now to see people's excitement over purchasing the cookbook and seeing it, you know, publishing and like being at their doorstep before you know it, like, it just feels so exciting for all of that to come full circle. So it's a huge moment for me. And to see your name in print, to see it, you know, at Target and Amazon and Barnes & Noble, it just feels surreal. And also just to see it in my own kitchen, I just got a bunch of copies, which I bawled my eyes out. Like, I had to do some major editing to kind of share half a video to show like 10% of my crying. But I gave a copy to my daughter and to my son, and like to see them displaying it too in their home, to watch them flip through it, it's just like brings me so much joy, you know? And to know that like one day my son is going to be 40 years old in his kitchen with his kids making that milkshake that he once did with his mom. It's just like such a beautiful moment. And whatever the book does, whatever sales look like, whatever success comes with it, I just know that for me, it's already a success because of just seeing my daughter literally hasn't stopped cooking from it since it came to our house. Like, she, like, every day she flips it, she goes, what are we making today? And so she's so excited. She loves to bake, and she's literally working through the snacks and the dessert chapters and just making everything. And every time she makes something, my husband comes home and he's like, she made this? I'm like, by herself, I promise you, she made this. She's 13 years old. Like, he's like, that speaks volumes about your recipe. And I'm like, I'm so proud, you know, to see like her doing these recipes. So already it's a huge success for me. I'm so, so happy. And I also believe that this is the kind of book that's going to help people in their homes as well to just bring more joy to their meals and just make healthy cooking feel more accessible.
So it's wedding season, and one of my hostess tips or like wedding guest tips is that I put together like my top 10 cookbooks that taught me how to cook differently, healthier, easy, my go-tos. And I cannot wait to include it in the 12 weddings I have this season. Yay. Because I feel like it is such a staple. People are like, I don't cook. I don't know how to cook. And I don't believe that statement. You just need a great recipe that is easy and tangible with ingredients that you can find and isn't so overwhelming. And I feel like this entire cookbook is just that. So I am thrilled. I'm adding it to the gift guide list for wedding guests.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I love that. And, you know, I feel like we've come a long way with cookbooks too, where, you know, 10 years ago, the cookbooks that I was buying were from chefs and things were like in grams and things felt complicated and harder to understand. And, you know, I learned to cook a lot from those books, but then I also started finding myself going online to people that I trusted. But then you have failures because not everything is completely vetted. And so it takes time to find the, you know, the bloggers and the voices and the chefs that you do trust and you do like their taste. And when you find one, I just feel like double down, make the recipes, learn to cook from them. And, you know, just follow that, and it could just bring you so much joy in the kitchen.
So tell me, when I'm flipping through the pages of this cookbook, what is it about? What am I getting from it?
Well, what I love about this book is that I think it's pretty unique because it's everyday simple recipes that you want to make, like pancakes and spaghetti and brownies, but each of them are elevated with these Mediterranean flavors. So I've got 8 Mediterranean staples that really just take every single one of these recipes up a notch. And I think you're absolutely going to love it.
I can't wait to see how we do this with pancakes. I'm so in.
Oh, yeah. The secret ingredient is rose water.
Oh, next level. You want to talk about like a mind-blowing moment? I can like, you said it and I feel like I can taste it in my mouth.
You can smell it too, right? And you just add a drop of it. Rose water lasts like 2 years. Like you can buy that thing for like $6. It lasts like 2 years in your pantry. Throw a little drop into pancakes instead of vanilla extract and it's next level.
What a great tip. I usually use it in mocktails because it's got that nice floral essence, but in a pancake? Okay, mind blown. Next level. I love it. Okay, it's the time in the show where I ask you truth or dare. And we do this because we have to pivot as home CEOs all the time and actual CEOs all the time. And you never know what's going to get thrown your way. So truth or dare.
Okay, let's go with truth.
Okay. Tell me a food you hate and why, and have you ever cooked with it or put a recipe out with it, even though you don't eat it?
Bacon, I guess.
Oh,
sorry.
I didn't expect that.
I know. And I think for me, it's like, it started out, it's a religious thing. We just don't eat bacon. And so I think that because I just grew up like, oh, bacon is not kosher. Bacon is it's haram. It's not halal, you know? And growing up with that mentality, like if I see bacon or smell it, I'm just like grossed out by it. And also just like the fat content, like it's just not a healthy food. And so I'm just like, why do people love it so much? I get it. I guess I get it. But I will never be tempted to even cook with it or to try, you know, anything with it.
It's okay. There was a period in my life where I was kosher and I didn't eat it. And when I started to reintroduce the American diet, is what I call it, back into my lifestyle, I was like, oh, I get why I missed this, but I'm still not a heavy bacon eater. I just didn't. Yeah. I didn't see that one coming. I love when I get surprised by a truth or dare. Okay. So Yumna, tell me where to find your cookbook. I'm going to put it in the show notes so people can order it and get it in. Again, you guys, this is on my gift guide list for wedding guests, for anybody. If you're trying to learn how to cook, if you need new, healthy, easy recipes, if you're dealing with diet restrictions, this book covers everything. It is going to be my get me through back to school cookbook, which is coming before we know it.
Awesome. Well, the cookbook is available everywhere the books are sold. So you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, all the things. So definitely check it out. It's available online. You can pre-order it right now, but it'll come out on May 7th. And so it'll be available. You can get it, you know, anywhere. And yeah, I'm going on tour to 7 different cities, starting in my hometown, then going to Detroit, going to Dallas, going to Orange County, and Seattle, and Atlanta. So a few fun cities, and super excited about them. And it's just also my first time in almost 11 years of doing this that I actually get to meet the followers in person. You know, it's just like I've had so many conversations with some of these people, and to actually meet them in person and hug them. And it just makes this whole digital lifestyle job that we have feel so real and for so much more tangible. So super excited. Yeah, you can find the cookbook also at feelgoodfoodie.com/cookbook that has more information on there as well.
That's awesome. And you can find her on any social media channel out there, Instagram, TikTok, Feel Good Foodie. You're the best. I feel like you make me a better home CEO, and I can't say that to many, but you are definitely one of them. So thank you for being on the show. Thank you for spending your time with me. I adore you, and I can't wait to meet you in Seattle. I'm going to make the drive up there, and we are going to get to hug in person because I just...
Yes!
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Super excited too, Nicole. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed our chat as much as we did and found some nuggets of wisdom, or at least a good chuckle. Remember to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss our next episode, which promises more laughs, tips, and tricks. And maybe you may need a tissue, because not only are these episodes enlightening, they're real, raw, and authentic. And we're all part of the Home CEO together in this community, the village you've been looking for. Until next time, keep shining your light on those who are dim. Do something kind for someone else and bring a smile to their face. And move your body for someone who can't in gratitude you get to. Stay smiling, stay curious, bringing less annoy and more joy into your home. That's it for this episode of The Home CEO.